This is Behind the Curtain at the LA Opera. On this edition of our continuing series, I will have the great opportunity to speak to John Doyle, director of the upcoming LA Opera production of Kurt Weill's The Rise and Fall of the City of Mahagoni, conducted by James Conlon and opening at the LA Opera this February 2007. John is the 2006 Tony Award winner for Best Direction for a Musical for Sweeney Todd. He also has been artistic director for many major regional theaters in the UK and has directed more than 200 professional productions. We will speak about how he came to this production, his concept for the piece, where he is in the rehearsal process, and what the experience has been like preparing for his LA Opera debut. I'll speak to John from a studio here at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion right after this. The Behind the Curtain podcast is brought to you by iPressroom Corporation. iPressroom, your gateway to online audiences. On the web at ipressroom.com. It is my great pleasure now to be joined by Mr. John Doyle. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you. Very good indeed.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem.
So how did this project come to light to you, and how did you take your first few steps to create the concept for this particular production?
Okay, well, I was asked, obviously, by the Los Angeles Opera to do the production. I was doing a production of Sweeney Todd on Broadway last year, and it...
Congratulations, by the way, on the award.
Yeah, thank you. And it had kind of Brechtian undertones to it in its style, I suppose, in a very simple way. And I think people from the opera here saw it. I was also working, of course, on that production with Paddy LuPone, who's playing one of the leading roles in this, and Audra McDonald was a friend. So there was a nice kind of group of people. I met Maestro James Conlon. We got on very well together. So it's all been very happy and fortuitous. And then in terms of actually the approach, I think I wanted to use, to start the evening using some of the typical Brechtian style things that you do, you know, announcing scenes, showing signs, etc. But wanted it to have a journey that went from 1927, when the opera was first performed, in terms of its imagery, through to now, so that when the audience leave the theatre, they realise that the opera could be as much about you and I as it was about people in 1927.
This particular piece is fairly risque. It's fairly spicy. It gives you quite an opportunity to express many parts of that idea. Is that translated into what you've done with the concept? And can you talk a little bit about the world that we're going to enter when we come down and see this show?
Sure. Well, initially, you know, I suppose you could say it's spicy. You have six, well, they're called maidens in the show, but actually, really, they are women of the streets. And they and other members of the company join us on the stage. They are people who are... I don't like the term lowlife, but it's got that quality to it. In the same way that pieces like Threepenny Opera have the same qualities, often dealing with people that we might meet or encounter on the streets on a dark night. They peddle sex and alcohol and gluttony, the seven deadly sins in a strange way are looked at and explored. Our piece gradually changes. In this production, the look then goes to Las Vegas in the 1950s, and then comes to what could be any fictitious American city in 2007, but still dealing with the same kinds of people and how they have taken a journey through time. Yeah, of course, you know, some of the songs are very sultry and sexy, you could say. And I suppose, you know, people say it influenced cabaret and musicals of that nature. You know, it's an interesting hybrid, because it's neither really truly an opera nor is it a musical. It's a kind of style, or even is it solely Brecht? It is a style of theatre all of its own. But it's accessible, and I think you know, you're given time in between each scene to understand what each scene is about. In typical Brechtian fashion, they tell you what the scene is about before you watch it, so that you get some, you're let off the hook a little bit. But we're trying to explore how to make it as decadent as we can, and yet at the same time as hard-hitting as possible.
Where are you right now in the rehearsal process, and how are you finding working with the chorus here at the LA Opera?
Well, in terms of the first part of your question, we are the beginning of our second week of rehearsals. We've got most of the opera, not all of it, but most of the opera on its feet, as I would say, you know, actually on the floor. And so we're now beginning to really explore the shape of it in more depth. I mean, you have to approach it in the same way as you would approach a play, and make sure that the actors understand what they are. If I say what they are saying, I don't mean the lines that they're speaking, but the message that they're giving. So we're going through that process now, which is lovely to do. There's a lovely company of people. As far as working with the chorus is concerned, it's always an interesting thing in opera, because they're probably the busiest people of all, and they're doing other operas at the same time, so you have limitations on how much time you have with them. But I made a decision very early on that the chorus in this opera is very they comment on the opera. You know, they're not people who necessarily sit around and drink beer or pretend to be in a bar. You know, they are actually almost like a Greek chorus. They pretend they acknowledge our presence, and they talk directly to us or sing directly to us. And so they start looking like lumberjacks, I suppose you could say, or townspeople of 1927. They then become the Rat Pack, and then they become the faceless men of wherever, Wall Street or whatever you want to call it, of bureaucracy. Let's put it that way.
Can you talk a little bit about, for the people who necessarily don't have an opportunity to come to the opera or experience something like this live, there is an importance to coming and seeing, especially live music and live singers in this type of venue. Can you talk a little bit about that for those of us who might be wanting to come and see this production?
I think, you know, my job, I feel, always is to make the work as clear and accessible as I can. I am the first person to be frightened of going to the opera. I always was, always have been. I feel that about any theatre. I always think I'm never going to understand it. So, it's my job completely to make sure that nothing stands between the audience and the story, so that we make the story as clear as we can. It's colourful. It's accessible music. It is sexy music. There are tunes that you feel you could hum. You know, there is some kind of quality of ease and atmosphere in the music. The people are, some of them are quite awful people. There aren't many kind of people that you love in Mahagoni, but maybe that's just like real life. So, you know, there's something about all of us in there. And you know, I did want it, when they originally did the production, they were looking at a kind of allegory, a sort of fantasy on how they, in Germany, before the Reich, at the beginning of the Reich at least, saw what America could be. And it's interesting now approaching it in here, in 2007, a non-American doing it, and able now, of course, we can take bigger risks in the theatre than we ever took before. So I think the imagery becomes very modern and of the street and of now, and sharp, I hope. Let's see. But I think, you know, for most people to understand that it's not a long opera, it's nicely packaged, it's nicely measured, and it's a bit sassy. That's good, you know.
I've recently had the opportunity, the great opportunity, to speak to the lovely Audra McDonald. Can you talk a little bit about what it's been like working with her, and also a little bit about the crossover between musical theater and opera, and how the LA Opera and many other venues around the globe are bringing in new directors and trying to infuse this new energy along with musical theater? Is she part of that, and how has it been working with her?
Oh, it's great working with Audra. She's a lovely woman. She's highly creative. You don't get four Tony Awards for nothing. But she's wonderful to work with and does the same as we all do. Is exploring the piece, and we're working hand in hand to try to make sense of it and understand who these people are and don't understand what we can bring to it. She and Paddy LuPone, somebody like Paddy, obviously, who I've, as I said, I've worked with before, but they are, Paddy very much a Broadway performer. Audra has crossed between opera, Broadway, straight theatre. When I say Broadway, I'm meaning the musical theatre, really, I suppose. And she's been able to do all of those things, which is marvellous. Because we speak the same language in terms of theatrical language, they are able to help me to access with the opera singers, if you like. And we're not approaching each other differently. But I think the singers can see us working together and realize, oh, okay, so we're allowed to ask questions, or we're allowed to change things, or maybe there's a better way, or maybe the work we did yesterday we'll just throw out and we'll do something else today. And that, I think, is exciting and illuminating. And I think that's where it does work. Now, this piece, you could listen to it or watch it and think, well, actually, really, it's a musical. So, it's not a musical in the normal Rodgers and Hammerstein structure, but it is basically a musical as well. So that helps, and I can bring to it certain little comments on the world of musical theatre. But, I'm not really... I happen to have done a number of musicals, but I'm not a musical theatre director. I'm a director of plays, first and foremost. That's what I've done most of my life. I happen to have done a production of Sweeney Todd that got a lot of attention, but that's not really what I do. So I just approach it as a director working with people. People are people. It doesn't matter in my case if I'm working with these wonderful artists here or if I'm working in a community project in East London, which I've also done. I would approach it exactly the same way. Try to bring some humour and humanity into the process. And as I keep going back to that word, much overused since the 1980s, but try to make it, give it access. Try to think of people in my family who, they won't come and see it because they live in Scotland, but who would be terrified of going to the opera, but might be able to somehow see something in it that makes them feel okay.
That's absolutely wonderful. Audra sort of mentioned it before, as an actress being able to approach a piece like this as a storyteller, as an actress approaching a part, and that's kind of goes along with what you were saying about approaching this as a play director and really making sure that the story is told properly. Just in closing, what are you moving on to after this, and are you really looking forward to your opening night?
I never really think much about the opening night. I'm terrible, really. It would never worry me, if I never saw it in front of an audience. I love rehearsing. That's what I really like doing. And, the bit from the applause onwards never really interests me. So I'm sure I look forward to it, because I'm sure we'll all have a nice time together and a drink together at the end of it all, if not a few before then. So I'm very easy going about all that. In terms of the future, I go straight from here to do another opera. I go back to my home country, to Scotland, to do Lucia de Lammermoor for Scottish Opera, which is wonderful. I'm really excited about that. So it's a totally different ball game in terms of its operatic style, but that's exciting. And then I'm coming back to this country. I'm going to, there's a tour of Sweeney Todd opening in San Francisco, which I'm doing, and then I'm in preparation for other things in London and here thereafter. So my year is full, really, and into next year is full. I should be so lucky, I thought I was slowing down, and then I won a Tony Award, so the world changed a little bit. But, I still enjoy going into the rehearsal room and doing the job I've always done in the way I've always done it, and that's all I can do.
John, I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. And I encourage everyone out there who might be listening to get down to the LA Opera, experience this production of The Rise and Fall of the City of Mahagoni. John, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much again.
Thank you very much.
I would like to thank John Doyle once again for sharing his time, and I encourage everyone to come and experience The Rise and Fall of the City of Mahagoni, opening February 2007 at the LA Opera. If you would like to find out more about this show or any of the many upcoming productions, you can find us at laopera.com. I'm Ron Guerin, and until next time, thanks for listening.